So when you're feeling bad about Dharma work, Dharma volunteering, Dharma commitment to time, Dharma commitments, when you're feeling bad, contrary to thinking that the Dharma is making you feel bad, your guru is making you feel guilty, or the Dharma community is negative, it is a good sign. It is a good sign that your wisdom, clarity, mind, your wisdom, clear mind is arising. Instead of running away, go full force. Do more Dharma. Engage in more Dharma. Practice more Dharma. Do more Dharma work. Take on more responsibilities because you're going the right direction. Because that process is the natural, correct process of our mind becoming better. Every single day, I do a little bit of social media in order to express thoughts and passages and realizations and understanding and other things I've read about the Dharma. I tweet and on social media and Facebook on different subjects, blog on different subjects. But of course, my favorite and my passion has always been Dharma. I guess the passion for Dharma arises from knowing that there is no escape in samsara, there is no pleasure in samsara, and everything that's really in samsara may be made out to look like it's really nice, but in the end it brings some kind of unhappiness and sufferings. The peaks that we experience in samsara, the happiness peaks, you know, whatever you want to call it for lack of a better name, the happiness peaks that we experience in samsara comes from a very high price we have to pay. It eventually the peaks become less and less and nil as we become older, because what we experience when we're younger, it won't be possible when we're older. Anyways, when I was going through my Facebook wall today, I came across a profound, deep, and extremely thought-provoking, evocative speech or write-up by Jetsoma Denzin-Palmo. As you know, Jetsoma is a very advanced and great nun who has meditated in solitary retreat for more than a decade, if my memory serves me right, 12 years. And then she has proceeded to work for women's opportunities in Dharma, building her own nunnery, and at the same time traveling the world and expounding the holy teachings of our Lord Buddha. So this I find very profound, and it can only arise from someone who has attained something in their mind, a level in meditation that doesn't reverse, doesn't go backwards. And let me read it to you, and let me give you a little short explanation. Most people feel cozy in samsara. They do not really have the genuine aspiration to go beyond samsara. They just want samsara to be a little bit better. The underlying motivation to go beyond samsara is very rare, even for people who go to Dharma centers. There are many people who learn to meditate and so forth, but with the underlying motive that they hope to make themselves feel better. And if it ends up making them feel worse, instead of realizing that this may be a good sign, they think there is something wrong with the Dharma. We are always looking to make ourselves comfortable in the prison house. We might think that if we get the cell wall painted a pretty shade of pale green and put in a few pictures, it won't be a prison anymore. Jetsoma Denzin-Palmo. So the first line, what she's saying is, most people feel cozy enough in samsara. They do not really have the genuine aspiration to go beyond samsara. They just want samsara to be a little bit better. So many people, they actually just want to make their situation better. Some more money, a little bigger house, a cooler room, more clothes, better food. And that's what their general aspiration of the general public is. It's more of a, to be more comfortable. And then the second thing she says here, the underlying motivation to go beyond samsara is very rare, even for people who go to Dharma centers. And there are people who genuinely think, wow, you know, samsara is really a difficult place. It has no end. It's an endless cycle. It promotes and deludes a lot. It promotes a lot of suffering, and it deludes us into further suffering. and that I want to do something better. I'm going to look for the Dharma, I'm going to look for a teacher, and perhaps I need to go to a Dharma center. That type of thinking is extremely rare, even among people who go to Dharma centers. Most people who go to Dharma centers are actually looking for a quick fix. Some are looking for a better way of dealing with guilt, a better way of dealing with their happiness or wealth, or they're looking for an easy way out of their problems, or betterment of a situation, an improvement of their situation. So people have many, many different types of reasons why they go to Dharma centers, but not actually the highest required motivation in order to gain full results from Dharma practice. Very rare. And it says here there are many people who learn to meditate and so forth, but with the underlying motive that they hope to make themselves feel better. People do pujas, they do mantras, they propitiate a protector, they pray to a yidam, they do special retreats, they do special meditations, they read books, they contemplate, they do breathing exercises. Very rarely do people use those Dharma practices and methods to gain a higher form of mind in order to conquer the samsara within them and around them. But there's an underlying motive, she's saying, that they just want to feel better. They want an improvement in their lives. Because of their underlying motive and their actual so-called true motive, that their wish to do Dharma is not really to be liberated or to liberate others or to go for the highest goal, which is enlightenment, the Dharma practices ends up making them feel worse. I repeat, it ends up making them feel worse. Instead of realizing that this may be a good sign, they think there's something wrong with the Dharma. So when they learn more from the teacher, they understand more from the teacher, they get more from Dharma readings, they see more from advanced students, or they understand more from their contemplations, they realize that a lot of things in their life are wrong. They realize that their motivation, their way of thinking, their mode of acting, and their conduct, actually, instead of creating happiness, instead of creating peace and harmony, instead of creating growth and emergence to a better new self, a higher self, it actually self-deludes or self-deceives themselves into thinking that they're not happy, they're uncomfortable. Why is that? Because for the first time in our lives, someone is telling us, more money doesn't make us happy. More luxuries doesn't make us happy. Having the yacht, the beautiful girlfriend, the handsome boyfriend, the name, the fame, the attention, the youth, the nice hair, the nice clothes, the overseas trip, the big cars, the big houses, the luxury branded items does not make us happy, and we should not be focused on that. And in the beginning of our spiritual journey, we accept that. We know that that's true. We understand that that's true. And we inherently know and look around us and see many people who have those things. They're not happy. Those who have aspired towards those items are not happy. We know that. It's an intellectual understanding. And so when we begin Dharma, we understand that, and we have this idealistic kind of view that, oh yes, I understand that materialism doesn't make me happy. I want to explore myself. I want to find myself. But you see, it's an intellectual understanding. But when they're actually faced with Dharma, materialism, or Dharma or materialism, Dharma practice, Dharma work, or overseas trip, Dharma friends, or go out and drink and party, solitary retreats, or finding a new lover, or maintaining a lover, or Dharma volunteering work, or simply laying at home doing nothing. When they're actually challenged and they have to make a decision between Dharma and samsara, that's when the dilemma comes. The dilemma comes because they have more wisdom, more understanding. They have more knowledge of what is right. And it's not that they intellectually don't understand it. They intellectually understand it, but they refuse to apply it. When they refuse to apply it, the conflict comes. What is the conflict? The conflict doesn't come from your guru or from Dharma or the Dharma center or your Dharma brothers and sisters. The conflict comes that you know what you need to do and you are not applying it. And when you are not applying it, it makes you feel bad. And when you feel bad, you like to say, the Dharma made me feel bad. My guru made me feel bad. My friends make me feel bad. The Dharma center made me feel bad. The Dharma center is not nice. The Dharma center is harsh. The Dharma center is pushy. The Dharma is difficult. We like to impute or say that the Dharma is making me unhappy. But you see, it's not the Dharma making me unhappy. It is like when you have cancer and you are given treatment. When you're getting treatment, it's very painful. It's extremely painful. When you're going for the test, it's very painful. There's a lot of side effects. When you go for cancer treatment, you go for a lot of tests. You have to be poked. Blood taken, lots of medication, lots of injections, lots of medicine, lots of changes in your diet, in the environment. And if we blame that our pain comes from the cancer treatment, and we give up the cancer treatment, then the cancer will take over our body and we will die. The pain doesn't come from the treatment of the cancer, or the doctors, or the nurses, or the hospital. The pain comes from cancer. And whatever is being applied to you by the doctors and nurses and hospitals is actually in the process of removing your ultimate cause of pain. Because if you're healthy, you don't have to go for tests, you don't have to go for chemotherapy, you don't have to go for treatment, you don't go for anything. Chemotherapy is very painful for some, and it's a lot of negative side effects for some. But you see, we cannot blame our pain on chemotherapy. We have to blame it on the cancer. So similarly, we cannot blame the Dharma Center. We cannot blame the teachers. We cannot blame the Buddha or the teachings or the practice or the knowledge. We have to blame ourselves. And when we keep blaming the Dharma and we say it's making us unhappy, what is actually making us unhappy? What is making us unhappy is not the Dharma, but our understanding of what we need to do and our laziness or selfishness or unwillingness to do it. This is making us unhappy. And we can even say, I don't care about karma, throw caution to the wind, I don't care anymore, I reached a level that it doesn't matter. We can say all that. We can justify all that. But you know what? If it didn't matter and we didn't care, we wouldn't be unhappy. We wouldn't be concerned or worried. We wouldn't be having a debate. The internal debate, the internal battle we're having that is making us unhappy. And the battle is not between good or bad, heaven or hell, Buddha or the devil. The internal battle is we know what we need to do. We are not doing it, and that's eating away at us. And if we run away from the Dharma by blaming the Dharma, justifying that Dharma is bad, the Dharma center is bad, Dharma people are bad, the Dharma teachers are bad, if we justify it that way, of course you have a small legion of people that believe you. Of course you have a small following of people that will support you and say it's correct. And you may even feel temporarily okay and satisfied and at peace that you have these supporters that feel the same thing. But you see, those supporters come in a few categories. There are people just like you who do not want to apply and face the truth, or there are people who are totally ignorant. So, it's like saying, going to a country that people have AIDS. And when you go to a country that people have AIDS, a developing country, or a very poor country, and they have no knowledge and no understanding about AIDS, and they have no idea about AIDS and how it spreads and how it's treated and its dangers and how it can affect and damage your family and your friends and people that you copulate with. And you go to this country and you have indiscriminate copulation, with unprotected copulation, and you just copulate and you just enjoy yourself and you go one after another and you write on social media, hey, I met this beautiful girl, I met that girl, I met this boy, I met that boy, and you know, we've had a good time, tomorrow I'll meet another one and another one. And of course you're gonna have a bunch of people on social media that support you and say, hey, that's great, let's have indiscriminate, unprotected copulation. Why? Because they don't understand the dangers of AIDS. They didn't hear about it. They don't know about it. They don't understand it. They see symptoms. They see people dying. They don't know where it comes from. Of course, they're going to support you. And then you have the other group of people that think, oh, well, I already have AIDS. I'm angry at the world. The world is at fault. I have AIDS because the world is at fault. It's their fault. So I don't care. I'm gonna go have fun. I'm gonna have indiscriminate copulation with anybody I like. And whether it spreads or not, I don't care. So you're gonna have that category of people supporting you, saying, yeah, indiscriminate sex or copulation is very good. But if you have people who know how AIDS spread, and they know the sufferings, and they work in an AIDS hospice, or they have a relative, a friend, a partner, a husband, or a wife, or a child that have AIDS, and they see the sufferings, they will say, no, don't do that. Don't give this suffering to others. Don't have indiscriminate, unprotected copulation with others, because you'll bring pain, you'll separate their families, you'll create trouble, you'll create financial strains. And then you know now, you know what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to have unprotected, indiscriminate copulation. And then there's a battle. There's a battle going on in you. And then you blame the education of AIDS awareness. You blame the people who tell you about AIDS. You blame the hospice worker. You blame the person who gave you the information. They made you feel bad. They made you feel horrible. They made you feel down. And when you go around indiscriminately having copulation people, they report you to the authorities. They let the authorities know. Then you say they're harsh. They're cruel. But in actuality, they're stopping you from spreading this disease that can damage other families financially, emotionally, physically, and cause death. In fact, they are very compassionate because they're not thinking of one person, just you. They're thinking about everybody around you. So therefore, if you social media or you want a legion of supporters that say, hey, indiscriminate copulation is wonderful, you're going to get it from people who know nothing about AIDS. That's an example. You're going to get it from people who have AIDS and who don't care anymore because they're angry at the world and they just want to get back and they don't care spreading it. In fact, they might want to spread it so other people suffer like them. But from people who know the sufferings, they experience it, they care, and they don't want other people to get it, they're going to come and tell you, don't do that. They might even report you to the authorities and say, don't do that. If you call them cruel and harsh, that is your twisted, wrong view. Similarly, with that analogy, in a Dharma center, when your Dharma teacher, your Dharma brothers and sisters explain to you the pitfalls of samsara, the difficulties of anger, selfishness, laziness, greediness, stealing, and lying, and you're caught doing it, and you keep doing it, and they talk to you nicely, and they talk to you nicely again and again and again, they confront you, and they explain to you, and they even try to stop you from doing it, that's not control. That's not negative. That's not them being evil or harsh or difficult. It's from care. It is from care. It is from care, and if you label them, the Dharma center, your teacher, or the Dharma institution as bad, you are not accepting responsibility for where it is coming from. So therefore, if you feel guilty and you have this battle within you, the battle within you is actually not a bad sign. That is what Jesama Tenzin Palmo is saying. It is not a bad sign. Why is it not a bad sign? Because you are having a battle between doing something virtuous and wonderful and good that you are not used to doing, as opposed to something that you've done thousands of times that brought you nowhere, that brought you spurts and spurts and tiny little bits and pieces of happiness but ended up unhappy. So you're having that battle. That battle is saying you're gaining knowledge. You're gaining some ground in your contemplations. You're gaining some ground perhaps in your meditations or your views, that your knowledge is increasing. So this battle comes from you having Dharma knowledge. And this battle makes you feel bad, not because the Dharma, because your conscious wisdom, clarity, good mind is saying, don't do what you were doing before anymore. Your good mind, your wisdom, the innate clarity of your mind, who you really are, is saying, stop. Dharma is good. What it's teaching you is good. And the process of transformation isn't you wake up one day and you just renounce samsara. The process of transformation comes from rejection, anger, not accepting, accepting, understanding, and then applying. So when you're feeling bad about Dharma work, Dharma volunteering, Dharma commitment to time, Dharma commitments. When you're feeling bad, contrary to thinking that the Dharma is making you feel bad, your guru is making you feel guilty, or the Dharma community is negative, it is a good sign. It is a good sign that your wisdom, clarity, mind, your wisdom, clear mind is arising. Instead of running away, go full force. Do more Dharma. Engage in more Dharma. Practice more Dharma. Do more Dharma work. Take on more responsibilities because you're going the right direction. Because that process is the natural, correct process of our mind becoming better. So we have to stop viewing the guru as someone militant. We have to stop viewing the Dharma Center as an army camp. We have to view the Dharma as not something that makes us feel guilty. We have to view the Dharma brothers and sisters as not people who are deluded or in a cult. We have to view the Dharma teacher really as someone that tells you the truth for once in your life with tremendous wisdom, tremendous knowledge, and tremendous experience, maybe even from many lifetimes, and listen to the words and understand he's trying to benefit you. We have to look at the Dharma brothers and sisters as a community who has accepted and understood and contemplated and meditated and got some results, that they are also committed on this path. We must also think that there are different methods that apply for different people, that it cannot be all across the board. With some people, you have to be very direct. With some people, you have to be very gentle. With some people, you have to be go around and round and round. There are many types of people. So one method doesn't apply to all. Therefore, don't expect your teacher to have just one method. On top of that, you shouldn't think the Dharma Center as a burden. You should think of a Dharma Center as a place that comes from people's donations, love, energy, time, and their contributions to create a physical place where we can gather to do good Dharma work and to benefit others. And to disparage the teacher, disparage the Dharma institution, disparage the people within, is to disparage all the donations, all the hard work, all the contributions that everybody else did. So that doesn't make sense either. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to disparage something that someone has invested so much into, even yourself? So therefore, it is not the Dharma or your teacher or the center or the Dharma brothers and sisters that make you feel bad. They're not the ones that are harsh. They're not the ones that are difficult. Your clear conscience and your understanding is starting to rise, and you're having that battle. And now your duty is to win that battle. We are always looking to make ourselves comfortable in the prison house. We might think that if we get the cell wall painted pretty, shade of pale green, and put in a few pictures, it won't be a prison anymore. So if we change locations, we quit, we change clothes, we go on trips, we meet people, we go for more dinners, we hang out in ritzy places, we go for nice restaurants, we buy a new car. It's like just changing the location and changing the situation around us to change what we know inside. It's not going to work. Unless we're very good at self-denial, self-deception, and we are willing to take the consequences. The consequences will be regret, loneliness, a waste of time, and lots and lots and lots of losses of great opportunities that would have gotten you somewhere. So if we're willing to take the consequences, and when the consequences come, don't complain. If in the past we had difficulties with certain situations and it made us testy and it made us very uncomfortable and it made us very belligerent and unhappy, then it is a sign to us that we are not ready for consequences, because those are consequences of actions we created in the past. So don't just blatantly say, I don't care about karma, I don't care about consequences, I've reached the stage, I don't care what people think or the karma consequences or anything is. Because if you didn't care, you wouldn't be talking, you wouldn't be battling. You do care. You definitely do care. So therefore, this wonderful Dharma paragraph from Jetsu Ma was very beautiful, very simple, and yet extremely profound. And I wanted to give that little explanation because I came across it today on Facebook. Let me read it one more time for you and conclude. Most people feel cozy enough in samsara. They do not really have the genuine aspiration to go beyond samsara. They just want samsara to be a little bit better. The underlying motivation to go beyond samsara is very rare, even for people who go to Dharma centers. There are many people who learn to meditate and so forth, but with the underlying motive that they hope to make themselves feel better. And if it ends up making them feel worse, instead of realizing this, that this may be a good sign, they think there is something wrong with Dharma. We are always looking to make ourselves comfortable in prison house. We might think that if we get this cell wall painted pretty shade of pale green and put in a few pictures, it won't be a prison anymore. Jessima Denzin Palmo. Now, if she was your teacher and you're having this internal battle and she tells you this, you might even be offended. You might feel she's targeting you. You might feel that she's telling you things that hurt you. But if you read this, you might think, oh yeah, that's nice. You see, it's our perspective. What's our perspective is whether we want to accept the truth or not. If we read things from the side of truth, it doesn't hurt. It's enlightening. It's freedom. So therefore, I hope this one helps. And I want to reiterate, Dharma teachers, Dharma centers, Dharma people, brothers and sisters, the Dharma teachings, the Buddha, the Yidams, the Dharma protectors, are all here to help us, are all here to give their best to us. And that's very important to know. And if we keep thinking there are enemies, we are actually attacking the wrong enemy. The enemy are not these above mentioned. The enemy is inside of us. And that is what we need to battle. And when we understand this, that is when we feel uncomfortable. The uncomfortable feeling comes from our conscience and knowing what we should do. So we should just go ahead and do the right thing. Do Dharma. Thank you.